Hebrews chapter number 11, we'll begin reading verse number 8 tonight. Last week we were in kind of in the verses talking about without faith that it was impossible to please God. And as we continue in to talking about faith, has anybody had an idea or a thought about a modern day hero of faith? Good to know y'all thinking about this. I'm glad to know that. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8. Some of y'all probably are thinking of some and just too shy to say them, and that's okay too, but Hebrews chapter number 8, or 11, verse number 8, I'm going to stop, and I'll mention one right quick, and this is, you know, you want to think about people that's in the spotlight or whatever, but let's look past the spotlight, because a lot of time, heroes of faith don't end up in the spotlight. Now, here, they're spotlighted in Hebrews chapter number 11, and that's awesome, but growing up, hey, these guys are human. They've sinned, come short, fall every day, too, but watching my grandpa and my dad stand on the Word of God all of their life and set the example in front of me and go through things as pastors and stuff as that's tough to go through, and times when I know they felt like giving up, times I know they felt like saying, you know what, I don't have to do this, I can do something else. And watching them stand and stand and stand, man, what a hero that has been to me. What an example that has been to me. And so I'll just mention those two modern-day heroes of faith. My grandpa has been pastoring the same church for over 40 years, and my dad has been at the church that he's at for over 20. So it's been a great encouragement to me to watch them stand when others may not have stood. I hope that somehow or another that I can use that example and live into that legacy. And when I don't want to just live in that legacy for the secret's name, but for the name of Christ, that I'll stand no matter what. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same purpose, or excuse me, of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You know, I think something that we need to continually remember as we try to increase our faith and be strengthened in our faith, we need to continue to remember that this world is not our home. Well, I mean, we cannot dig our deep roots too deep here in this world, because we have a better place to go. This is not my home. This is not your home for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So here he says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Listen to that last part again. Because she judged him, or because she knew him, it's talking about God, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She knew when God promised her, she had all faith in the world that God would deliver on his promise. You know, I'm glad to even say here tonight that if every one of us will look in our lives, that we cannot find a time when God has not been faithful to a promise to us. We can't find a time that God has let us down. I can look in my life and see many times that I have been unfaithful to God, that I have let God down, but not one time can I give you an example of when God was unfaithful to me, when God didn't stand for his promise. Verse number 12, "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." I'm going to stop right there for just a little while, maybe completely for tonight. And I want us to look here as the Bible is painting us a picture of Abraham and Sarah as heroes of faith. And we know how that God gave a promise to Abraham and Sarah, and he gave the promise to Abraham, and she relayed to Sarah the promise, or he relayed to Sarah the promise. And as God promised to Abraham, he said, look, he said, I am going to give you a son. I'm going to paraphrase this. I can't go through the whole story and not paraphrase. So he says, I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to make you father of many nations. Now, Abraham's an old man at this time, and it almost looks impossible that he and Sarah would have a child. And we know how that Abraham began to think about that thing. First of all, I want to go ahead and establish the fact, as we've already talked about, that God was faithful in his promise, and that's where Isaac came from. Isaac was the promised son that God had promised to Abraham. So we know that God was faithful. But we also got to look back, and we got to look at Abraham, and we got to know that after God had promised Abraham that he would have a son, that there was a time in Abraham's life that he thought it was up to him to work out God's promise. He thought that it was up to him to prove that God was going to be faithful. And we know that Abraham had a handmaid. Her name was Hagar. And how that he went in unto Hagar and they had a son together. And Abraham did all of this to try to work out God's promise that God had promised. Can we just go ahead and establish the fact that God don't need my help to establish his promise? If God says it, you can count on it, and God does not need me working around and trying to show that God's faithful or God to show that God is going to stand for his promise, because when God says it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it, I believe it, or if anybody believes it. If God says it, that settles it. But we know how that Abraham began to work around and how Abraham began to say, I know that God's promised this, and it's just not going to be possible with Sarah, so I'm going to work around and I'm going to take care of this promise. That's not faith. See, there's absolutely no way that our faith can grow when we think that it is up to us to work in God's place. Now, we talked last week about works, and we talked last week about how important it is for us to have good works to support our faith. But those works are not works that we're doing to try to prove that God would be faithful or try to work out God's promise. See, the only time that we can become faithful, the only time that we can get to a place to where we are trusting in God, is when we finally realize that our ability is nothing to God. That God does not need me to be working out his promises. We first need to know, for our faith to flourish, we have to get past our own strengths and our own abilities. We need to forget about what we can do. We need to forget about how that we can. I know it's almost inevitable, it seems like, in my life, that I'm always trying to figure out how to take care of something. I'm trying to figure out how to make this work, how to make that work, all the time. Now, I'm not talking about just how to go down to the store and type up a ticket. But I'm talking about problems in your life, things that's going on in your life. When God gives us a promise that he's going to not put anything more on us than we can bear, when God gives us a promise that he's got us in his hands, and when God gives us a promise, all of God's promises in his word, he don't need me working to work out those promises. What he needs me to do is to fully surrender to him and say, God, you've promised this. I'm going to leave it in your hands. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to fully surrender under your, and I'm going to yield to you, God. You speak, and I'll move. But God, if you don't speak, I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to just stand still, God. I'm going to let you work around me. For in order here Abraham's story here, as he begins to work around and try to prove God's faithfulness or try to work out God's promise, Abraham made a mess. Still dealing with the mess today because of it. The mess that Abraham caused because he was trying to work out God's promise. We have to realize that God does not need my ability in order for his promises to be true. That God doesn't need my strength. He doesn't need my knowledge. I need to quit trying to work out what God's part is in my life. I need to sit and be patient and wait on God. But as Abraham, he goes in unto Hagar and they have a son. And then we know that after that, that Abraham and Sarah also had a son, the promised son. And as Abraham maybe learned a lesson through that experience, there's been times when I've tried to work out things for God in my life. I have absolutely tried to go, you know what? I know how to do this, and I don't need God. And y'all say, well, preacher, I can't believe you'd say that. Well, if you would be honest for just a minute, get off your holy high horse for just a minute. We've all done it at some point in time in our life. We've said, I've got this. We've went and done stuff without even praying about it, without even consulting God, without even saying, God, is this your will for my life? We've just said, God, I've got this. And then we go and we make a mess, just like Abraham did. 99% of the time, we go and we make a mess. And we have to back up and say, oh, yeah, God, what do you think about this? Oh, yeah, God, what is your will in this? And by then, we've got the mess on our hands, and God really has to work and show us that he's in control. So then as we get to Abraham and Sarah, and they have Isaac. And then I can imagine maybe that was a spiritual uplift for Abraham. He's seen God's faithfulness, and we know the Bible says here that Sarah, she conceived, and the Bible uses the word judge because she judged him faithful who had promised. She knew that God was going to be faithful in his promise. So now they have a son. And maybe now Abraham backs up and goes, oh man, you need to go back and read the story sometime, and you can see how everything happened and how that Abraham's heart was turned against Hagar and how Sarah couldn't stand Hagar. You need to go back and read this story sometime, or this event in the Bible. But as we get to that place, and after Abraham's made a mess, and then along comes Isaac, God's promise. See, even though Abraham made a mess, God still fulfilled his half. Or not even his half. He fulfilled his promise. You know, and he could have said, well, Abraham, you made a mess. There you go. Live with it. But God's promise is sure. Now look, people might would disagree with this. You can't mess up God's promise. You can make a mess of things in your life, but the fact that the things that God has promised in his word, I can't do anything to make those promises not true. They're true, 100%. I can do things to mess up God's will in my life, but as Abraham makes a mess out of all this, and now Isaac has come along, I wonder if Abraham sat back one day and said, well, look there, God's promise is true. I feel assured that it increased his faith. I feel assured that sitting back and watching God fulfill his promise maybe even put Abraham to the place that he said, God, I'm sorry for trying to work this out on my own. God, I made a mess. I surrender. God, I'm going to yield to you. So now that we get past that point, now we have Isaac, and now Abraham's going around and going, you know what, I've got Isaac now. God's promise is true. I'm going to be the father of many nations, and God is going to bless my family. And Isaac, he is the promised son that God told me about. And then when we get over to verse number 17, the Bible says, and by faith Abraham, when he was tried. Well, now let's talk about this trial. You know, the Bible tells us that God will not tempt us. But I do believe that there are tests sometimes that God lays out before us. And it is tests that either increases our faith or it is tests that absolutely shows us where our faith is weak. One or the other. And I've had both happen. But now that Abraham's got his promised son, Isaac's here, and man, I got my faith in God. And then here comes this trial. And here's what the trial was. God speaks to Abraham one day, and he says, I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him. Whoa, wait a minute, God. This is my promised son. Now God, I know I kind of made a mess out of everything, but, man, I've yielded to you, God. I've surrendered to you, God. I've put my life back in a place where I've got my faith is right with you. Now, God, if I sacrifice Isaac, how in the world am I going to be the father of many nations? Because my son's now dead. And we can't continue to grow this family name, and I can't be the father of many nations. So in verse number 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. See, I believe that the first time that Abraham tried to work out God's promises, I believe that his faith grew. Even though he made a mess, his faith grew. And then when this second trial come, even though Abraham may have had a thought in his mind, I want you to notice what he did. He absolutely followed what God told him to do. See, I don't know what the purpose of this trial was that God gave Abraham. I can take my mindset and I can give you what I think it was. So on the second time, as this test comes along, I wonder if God was saying, Abraham, is there anything in your life that's more important than your faith in me? Is there absolutely anything in your life Because I believe that Isaac was the treasured son. Man, I believe that when Abraham looked at him, I believe his heart just bubbled on the inside of him. I believe that he looked at him and he knew he was that promise from God that should have never happened, but God fulfilled his promise. I believe that Isaac was very important in Abraham's life. And now that God has took and said, I want you to go and sacrifice him, I believe that the question that maybe God was asking Abraham is there anything in your life that's more important than you being faithful to me? I want to ask you the question tonight, just as I've asked myself, is there anything in my life that's more important than my faith? Is there anything? Is there finances? Let's get right down to where it's at. Your family can't be more important than your faith. Your neighbor, the people you work with, your church, there is nothing that should be more important than your faith. Now, let me explain that. If you get your faith right, all of that will fall into place exactly where it's supposed to be. If my relationship with Jesus Christ is where it's supposed to be, and I've got my life surrendered unto Him, if I'm completely yielded unto Him, then my faith in God will strengthen all of those relationships around me. They won't suffer at all. But even the Bible tells us that the ones that are going to follow, they must, if you're going to follow God, the Bible says hate, but it's not talking about a hate like I hate you. You got to be willing to choose God over your family, over your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. God's got to be number one. God don't play second fiddle. And as we look at this tonight, I wonder if he was asking Abraham, is there anything in your life, including Isaac, that's more important than you being faithful to me? Abraham, is there anything that would stand in the way of you completely trusting me? Is there anything that would stand in the way of you completely surrendering your life to me? What if God come to us tomorrow and wanted us to lay something down? I'm not talking about sacrificing your kids. Don't go to work tomorrow and tell everybody your pastor said we need to sacrifice somebody. That's not where we're going with this. But maybe there is something in your life that is standing between you and God. Maybe there's something that's hindering your faith. Maybe there's something that's hindering your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you willing to lay it down and say, look, I'm done, God, I fully surrender, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to absolutely count on your promises, I'm not carrying this any longer. Because the Bible tells us as Abraham took Isaac up and he began to offer him for the sacrifice, that we know that God already had a plan. But I want you to look how faithful that Abraham was unto God. Let's look in verse number 19. In verse number 19, I want you to see the heart of Abraham. Accounting, or in other words, Abraham knowing that God was able to raise him up. In other words, if Abraham felt, you know what? If I go through with this, because he's saying, I've got so much faith in what God has promised me that I'm going to be the father of many nations, and he's going to use Isaac for that. I'm going to stand so sure on that promise that if I sacrifice Isaac right here, if God allows me to go through with that, I know that God is able, look what he says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He said, I've got so much faith in God's promise that even if I sacrifice my son right here, that God can raise him up from the dead and still fulfill his promise. Now, are we completely surrendered unto God that much? I'm not. I'm not there. I'm not to the place to where I so fully surrender my faith unto God, and I so fully surrender my life unto God, and I've yielded unto God so much that when God says, here's what I want you to do, I start going, well, now if I do this happens, and then this happens, and this happens, man, I'm trying to figure it all out. I'm the worst in the world. My wife hates me for this. I am the worst in the world about any decision. I go get a piece of paper out and a pen, and I start writing down pros and cons, and let's see which one outweighs. Or if it's a financial decision, I write down our income. I write down all of our stuff that goes out, and I look and see, can we do this? Or are we going to be outliving our means? Now, that's smart. That's not dumb, but my wife don't enjoy that whatsoever. But I'm a mathematical-minded kind of person. I try to figure everything out step by step. But now, as God speaks to my life sometimes, I try to figure out whether what God is saying is making sense or not. I try to figure out, now wait a minute, God. If I do that, then I'll have to do this, and then I might have to do this, when all along I need to quit saying I. The only I that needs to be there is, God, I surrender. I trust you. I 100% trust you. And as Abraham, he took Isaac up. And we know how the story goes that Abraham took Isaac up. And before he was able to kill his son, how that an angel grabbed hold of Abraham and didn't allow him to kill Isaac. And over there in the bushes was a sacrifice. God provided. There was going to be a sacrifice that day, but God provided that sacrifice after he stopped Isaac from being sacrificed. You know what? There may be times when even to the last minute you're going, okay, God, God will provide. God will always, always come through for us. But in order for that to happen, and you say, well, why don't God speak to me like that? You know, so many times I have people call me and they'll say, hey, preacher, I'm trying to figure out what God wants me to do. What do you think? Well, first of all, my opinion is worth about 2 cents on that. The second part of that is only you and God know what God's telling you to do. Now, look, if you call me and you tell me, preacher, God has spoke to me, and I'm going to throw a big party at my house, and we're going to smoke dope, and we're going to drink beer, and we'll say God ain't in that nowhere in the world. But now, listen to me. When you call me and say, hey, I think God is speaking to me, that's not on me. I can't tell you what God is. Just no more than y'all can tell me if I called you and said, hey, I think I'm going to preach this tonight. Do you think this is what God wants? You can't tell me that. Only me and God can. But here's where I want to get. The reason sometimes we have trouble hearing God, and the reason we have trouble sometimes knowing what God wants in our life, is because we haven't got to where Abraham is. We haven't got to where our faithfulness to God is the absolute most important thing. We haven't got to where, no matter what God asks us, that we would be willing to go through with it, knowing that he's going to take care of it. Now look, I know I keep saying we, maybe y'all all are there. Y'all's faith is so strong, and God bless you if you are. Let's have an anointing service and come anoint me when I get done, because I'm not there. I am still to the place that I question a lot. I'm still to the place that I try to figure it out. I'm still at the place that I try to help God a whole lot. And I want to get to the place to where my faith, for one, I'm not relying on my ability or my strengths, that I'm looking to God and saying, God, this is all in you. I'm not going to try to work this out. You got this. And the second part of that, I want to look and be able to say, God, there is absolutely nothing that's more important than you. Nothing. I'm not there. I hope you are. I hope one day to be there. But I will say this, even in studying this, and as I look at the faith, and I look at where I want to be in my faith, I don't think that there's anything that I should desire more than to strengthen my faith in God. Because if I strengthen my faith in God, I will. First of all, I'll live a life that gives him glory more than I do right now. Y'all know my two things that I like to go to. I'll live my life in a way that gives him glory. I'll live my life in a way that points others to the cross. But let's go a little deeper. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better dad. I'll be a better pastor. I'll be better at everything that I do in my life if I fully surrender and get to the place to where I'm not trying to work out God's promises. I'm not doing it on my ability. And if I get to the place where nothing else is more important than my faith in God, everything in my life will be better. Church, I ask you to pray for me tonight, because even as we get into this and I try to look at and say, where is my faith? There's things in my life that's more important. You say, what do you mean? What is more important than you and your relationship with God? Hey, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you guys, but my life is stressful. My life sometimes feels like, I mean, I got 100 pounds just coming in on the sides of my head, and I'm like, what in the world? And I get to that place sometimes to where I'm trying to work all of this out. I'm trying to figure out how to to get numbers better at church, to get numbers better at work, to how do I witness to people? How do I see people? How do I do this? How do I do that? And I get to the place that I'm about to explode instead of going, God, you got all this. I was thinking just the other day, I actually told a lady that was in my office, I had a corporate lady come down, and just so happened she was a Christian, and she and I were talking, and I said, you know what? I said, when I become manager over 4 years ago, something like that, I said, I can remember praying at night and saying, God, no matter what, and look, I just use this for an example. My business is important because it's a lot of the livelihood of my family, but I use it just because I can see this stuff in my life. As I started that, my prayer was, no matter what, God, I'm going to give you glory through this. Whether we're successful, whether we're not, God, you use me for your glory. And I'm going to brag on you, and I'm going to tell everybody how that you're doing this. And you know what? As all of that stuff has started doing this and just coming in on me, I'm not doing that like I should. I'm not saying, hey, when somebody comes in and says, hey, everything looks good around here, blah, 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 I'm not even mentioning God anymore where I used to. I did. I'd say, yeah, God's been good to us. Now it's, yeah, the economy's doing good, and boy, we're selling parts like crazy, and we're busy, and See, if we're not careful, we get to the place where our faith is not the most important thing in our life. I don't want to sit here and say that I don't love God, and I'm not saying that whatsoever, but I don't even want to say that God's not number one in my life, because I try really hard to put God in a priority position in my life, and he's number one. But when all of life is going on sometimes, it's easy to let your faith start slipping and not trusting the way that we should, not surrendering the way that we should. Church, I desire your prayers. As I've been studying about faith and looking at the heroes of faith, these people had some attributes that I need in my life. These people had some things figured out that I need to get figured out in my life. And I tell you what, whether you'll admit it or not, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you anyway, so that we all can increase our faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray that you'll just help me. God, I want to be everything that you've called me to be. I want to be everything that you want me to be, God. But God, I don't want to work it out on my own. I don't want to try to figure it out. I don't want to be on my strength and my abilities. God, I want to fully surrender and fully yield to you. And then, God, I don't want to be to a place that there's anything in my life that's more important than my faith and my relationship with you. God, I sometimes do whatever it takes to get the job done of whatever we're doing here on this earth. But sometimes I'm too tired to work on my faith. I'm too tired to read your word. I'm too busy to do the things that your word asks me to do. God, I pray that you'll help me. I pray that you'll just give me a desire. And I pray that, God, that you'll feed that desire and help me, God, to be everything that you want me to be, to increase my faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.